Welcome to the Bloody Broads Pod. We are your Bloody Broads. I'm Bhavna Sharma.
And I'm Jamie Howard. We are your horror guides from page to screen and everything in between. Bhavna has a very special episode for us this week to continue our deep dives into Black horror icons.
Yes, and this week we are taking a bit of a look into the life of Loretta Devine.
Yes, and I didn't recognize her name at first, so I'm a little ashamed. But then once you told me who she was, when you started explaining who she was, I was like, oh, yes, now. And I have a feeling a lot of people are going to have that reaction.
Yes, Loretta Devine is one of those women that has been in the industry for forever. So you definitely, if you don't know the name, you 100% know the face, if not also the voice to go with
Absolutely.
It. Like,
Absolutely.
This woman has had 178 credits. She's been booked.
She's
been booked and blessed since like 1977. This woman is amazing. You horror fans would probably know her as, intrepid security guard Reese Wilson from the Urban Legend movies.
Yes.
Yes. Also as Missouri, the psychic Missouri on Supernatural. She had a two episode arc, one in the first season, the second one, I believe, in like the 15th, 14th, something like that. That show went on forever, guys.
I know.
But they brought her back. Like, they actually brought her back. Like, she was in the first season. She was the psychic that, for all my Supernatural fans, she was the psychic that helped Sam and Dean with the demon that was still plaguing their old home. And where their mom saved them by, like, you know, letting her soul get immolated to save them from the evil. And, like, my favorite part of that entire episode is, like, at the end where it's like, that boy has the gift, talking about Sam.
Yeah.
But he didn't even sense his own father. And then it just pans to, like, John Winchester for the first time since he's been missing.
Yeah.
On the couch, like, ba-boom.
Oh, my God.
And if you're worried about spoilers, Supernatural's been on for so long and memed to death. Like, you don't even need to have seen the show to know what was going on.
Also, like, low-key, I could write an episode at this point.
You definitely
It's could. A formula, you know, it's a formulaic style show. Not that others aren't, but just it heavily relies on a lot of TV tropes, is what I'm saying.
It does. And it's coming back. So you could write for the show if you really wanted to.
Yes.
But yes.
Friend of the pod, Rachel, has written for the Winchesters. So
I'll yes.
check in
she
with
has.
Her.
She'll get you in there.
Yeah. For everyone listening, this is a joke. I would be a terrible writer. Don't. I can do scene ideas. I cannot do dialogue to save my life. Anyways, continue. I would love to learn.
That's what collaborations are for.
Correct.
But
I want to hear more about Loretta Devine because I only know her from what you've already mentioned.
Oh, okay. Because prepare to be impressed because she's been
ready.
Everywhere.
Booked and busy.
Booked and busy. So Miss Loretta Devine, or Mrs. Loretta, I should say, was born on August 21st, 1949. So she is currently 74 years old. So similar age to our previous subject, Ken Foray. She was born in Houston, Texas, and she was one of six children raised by a single mother.
Good Lord.
Yeah, pause for that. You know, like
when
you were talking about Ken last time, and I was like, oh, well, pretty similar circumstances, slightly different. Like, you know, like she's not unaware of the struggle, and like her mom was an esthetician, like a beautician as well. So like that kind of work is very, very like dependent on your reputation and stuff too. So I could only imagine the stress running through that household.
Absolutely.
With six children.
Yeah. Like. And it's so client dependent, you know, like if people stop coming to your hair salon, you're screwed.
Yeah. One person leaves you a bad review. It's not like Yelp where everyone can see it, but you know, you spread it through the community. Like, I know what it's like now. Like everything's word of mouth. Like where I get my nails done is because my friends get my nails done there. Like where I got a haircut, like that salon I went to for the first time because a friend of mine suggested that salon, you know, like, so It's I can only imagine how much more tight-knit that would be when you couldn't just look it up yourself. So, goddamn, applause for that childhood right there.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Like, learning about both of their parents, I'm just like, wow.
Right? But, you know, she's, from all accounts, she seemed to have a pretty okay childhood as well. So that's also just like, goddamn. She went to, she in her high school, she was really, really active on the pep squad as well, which if you know any of her characters in any of the other movies, like she probably gives the most motivational speeches, like, yes, like the most uplifting things. Like I feel like I wish I had her when I was feeling down.
I know. Agreed. Like, that'd be agreed.
Like, and even the way she talks to some of the people in the Urban Legends movies, like Jennifer Morrison's character in Final Cut, like the way she's like hyping her up. I'm like, she doesn't deserve it. Give me the hug instead.
That's what I was thinking of, was that specific film and that section of the film. She's really good at the grounded but also aspirational speech of the, here's what we're going to do, you know, like pick yourself up. Very Edna Mode in The Incredibles, where she's like, pull yourself together.
Yeah, which, I mean, not that she was super typecast into that, but I felt like she did a little bit in her career as well, which is a trope that I think doesn't really have a place in 2024 in general, you know, but she did them really well is what I will say. And she didn't make me feel icky about those roles either. And I'm sure you know what I mean by that. Like, you know, you can get the person that's just there to help you along the situation, like a Dick Halloran.
She,
you know,
was definitely giving magical Negro. Like, that's the name of the stereotype, you guys. And the if you go look that up, I mean, in any film criticism, she definitely had several roles, I feel like, that were just that.
Even they if definitely her character
were. Didn't have powers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So she also performed in like talent shows at her high school, which I'm not surprised. All of us creatives definitely did something like that. She went to George Washington Carver High School. That's a mouthful and a half.
Yeah. Inventor of the peanut butter. That's what I remember.
Yeah. But listen, not only was this woman just like, you know, talented and stuff, like she's probably the most educated actor before starting acting that I've heard of in this era as well. So she graduated from the University of Houston in 1971 with a Bachelor of Arts in Speech and Drama, then went for her Master's of Fine Arts and Theater from Brandeis University.
Wow.
Yeah.
She was really like, good. I mean, I'm impressed.
Yeah, on top of getting married in 1967.
Wow. I mean, I know it was a different time, but I'm like, damn, you got married in undergrad.
Right? That's just wild. She got married at 18, essentially, 18, 19.
Yeah.
Then goes to school, gets her, like, you know, her Bachelor of Arts within the same time frame that you would even if you weren't, you know, married. Yeah. And then goes and gets her Master of Fine Arts. And that's, I think, crazy. Brandeis is in Massachusetts as well. So it's like she moved for that.
So. Yeah. I would love to hear her talk more about that. I know you said she hasn't really like gone too deep into her pre-acting.
Not that I could find. Like, it's kind of harder to find stuff on her because she's kind of like, I would say, a Margot Martindale type. You know, like she's shown up, like she's a great character actor. And like, though she's done a lot of work, she doesn't really do a lot of press around it. Like, she has more recently, and there's stuff of that I'll talk about in a bit, but like,
well, that's why I'm glad you're doing
her life story there. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad you're doing an episode on her, because I again, when you said you were gonna do her as your topic this month, I had to go to her IMDb real quick, and I was like, wait a minute. And I knew the Urban Legends movies, I knew Supernatural, I knew one or two others, but it's kind of wild to me that there's all of these white character actors that get a lot of love, and there's not a lot of women of color, specifically black women, that get a lot of love outside of things like, you know what I mean? Like things like this, where we're like, oh, it's Black History Month. Like, let's spotlight these black creators, legends in show business in some cases. I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about that. Hence why we spent a whole month doing these episodes.
Yes. Exactly. So this woman, like the timeline here, she went from getting her master's in 1976 to being on Broadway in 1978. Like,
damn.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That is such a crazy like ascent. Good for her though. I mean, again, I think it just goes to show like there's always the phrase that gets said by, mostly black creatives and academics, but any black person, where they're like, you know, we have to be twice as good to get half the recognition. Yeah. And I think she clearly was twice as good, is twice as good.
Yes. Exactly. No, that's it. It's just like, I mean, it did close after 14 previews in one performance, but that's still huge, right? Like, there's
Broadway
so many
than
people.
I've ever done, you know?
Right? Oh, well, I mean, yeah, same. It was for a musical called The Broadway Musical.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And like, it wasn't long until she had her second one, which was Coming Uptown. Okay. Which I have heard of. I'm not sure if you have. But the Broadway role that blew my mind, because I didn't realize that she originated the role, but it was in Dreamgirls.
I'm sorry. She originated a role in Dreamgirls? How did I not know this?
Yeah, in 1981, she originated the role of Laurel Robinson.
Oh, you know, now that you say that, I can picture like the promotional stuff with her in it, but it's been so long. Because usually when I think of Dreamgirls, I'm going to be honest, I think of the film, I think of Beyonce and all the other women that starred in that film that are very talented, you know, already mm-hmm. were already well known when they got cast. The Broadway show is a little different, but that makes total sense. She is a powerhouse.
And we're only at 1981.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh my God.
Right? Like, I had no idea she originated that role. And like on Broadway, on fucking Broadway in 1981, only like Wild. 5 years after getting her master's. Like, you know better than anyone else the work that it takes.
Yes.
To put in to be an actor. Now imagine being married and keeping a marriage alive, because spoiler alert, they're still married.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I really love that.
They're still married. Like, oh God, just like she was living her dream in a time where like not even white women could live their dream like that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, team Loretta right now. I love it.
Right?
We're her cheerleading section.
Yes. No, she's done a lot of work on Broadway as well. Like, she also was in a revival of the Wiz. So just like, oh my goodness, like that too. Like, how many roles, woman? And I purposely haven't said one of her biggest roles that people would know of. And I know that fans of that show are like shaking their fist at me. But that comes later. And that is Grey's Anatomy. She played Adele Weber. Like, she
now
is
that I knew.
Majorly
okay, yes.
known for that one.
Yeah, that I knew. And I would always be that friend when episodes would come on. I'd be like, did you know she was an urban legend?
Like, yes. I'm like, I know that voice.
Yeah. That's literally, I mean,
which
my mind
I'm
is
gonna,
still blown about the Broadway stuff, but yes.
Oh gosh, I know, right? Like, I'm going to dive into her character on that show later, just because I am a Grey's Anatomy fan. And like, so I have seen every episode she's been in multiple times, and I have lots of strong, good opinions on her role there as well. Team Adele. I was always Team Adele for anyone.
Always.
Wondering. Man, no, sorry. I just need to take a second just because, wow. But, you know, she worked extensively on Broadway, but in between she was on in film as well. So the, like this gem, which again, well, it just blows my mind, this little factoid. She was cast in Jesse Maples' movie, Will, the first independent feature-length film directed by an African-American woman.
What?
Yeah.
In the 80s?
1981. Yeah. Was when
Jesus
she was discovered
Christ.
For that. Yeah. Like, it was a really low-budget film. She only made $500 from it.
Well, I
But
assume.
For that to
I
be just, the first.
I'm hung up on that. Yeah, and it to be 1981. I mean,
yeah, the film came out in 1981.
What? I mean, for it to be 1981, that's what I'm stuck on. That's what I'm stuck on, is that it was 1981 before that. Like, what?
Yeah, like the budget was only $12,000. It was shot in Harlem, and it was her first movie as well. So it was her first movie, plus it was
that
the first one directed by an African-American woman. A feature length. Like, goddamn.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Like, so she was literally rehearsing for Greek. Right? She was literally rehearsing for Dreamgirls when she got cast.
What in the world? I mean, again, it's kind of what I said on Ken's episode. Like, the amount of talent you have to have and the amount of dedication to really stand out is bonkers.
Right? Like, so she's done a lot of, like, television roles since then too, but yes. Some of her bigger like movies were like Waiting to Exhale in 1995.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, she was in that one as well, and it earned her an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Motion Film for that one. She was in Preacher's Wife, which was her second movie with Houston and Hines. And
yeah,
she was also in
Bangers.
Right? She was also in Down in the Delta in 1998 and Funny Valentines.
Literally, right? No misses, no skips.
No, none, none. And she had a cameo in the film Dreamgirls. So
that was cool. I knew. Because yes. Again, I knew she had been in Dreamgirls on Broadway. I did not realize she originated that role. I don't know where my musical theater fandom, you know, as a kid went there, yeah. But missed that fact completely.
Like, basically, she didn't go more than a couple. She hasn't gone more than a couple of years without things. That's why I'm only giving you the hits. Because it's like.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure, I mean, as you know, once you get hired on to something, even if it doesn't start getting produced for another year, they have to pay you for rehearsals and table reads and whatever. So I'm sure it was more like a couple months of actual work.
Yeah.
And then maybe a year or two before things came out. But how did she get. I have so many questions. Do we know how she got involved in Urban Legend? I'm assuming it was just like her agent letting her audition, but that was such a turn from her other roles. I'm so fascinated.
Yeah, it was just basically around the same time as she was based, like around that time, what was that, like 97, 98, she was just working.
Yeah.
Like she had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 movies come out in 1998 alone.
Wow.
I saw like Hustle. 4 aside from Urban Legend.
Yes.
And then like in 1999, she had 3. In 2000, she had 3 as well, including the second Urban Legends movie. You know, like at least 2 or 3 movies a year. She's had like 2000, 2001, 2. Like she took 2003 off for some reason for movies. She's probably got some TV shows to fill in that gap. And
I was
going to
say, I'm sure.
Yeah, she does. Because at that point, she was on Boston Public as a regular on the main cast.
Oh, what a throwback. I haven't thought about Boston Public in so long.
Yeah, she was Marla Hendricks, one of the high school teachers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've watched it, but that is, wow, that you just sent me directly back to the early 2000s by saying Boston Public.
Yeah, so like you think she took time off, but she really fucking didn't. She's been working since then.
And I think, too, people don't realize as an actor, like when you take time off, it actually costs you money. Like,
right, just like with the, it costs you money because you have to make your money in such like lump sums and then have to figure out how to make that last, kind of like teachers. It's not like with teachers who some of them get their pay withheld for the summer,
right.
Which makes no sense to me. I'm like, just give them a paycheck. Like,
I know.
Money. And then if you want to know more about the pay discrepancy, you know, look up all the videos of Taraji talking
Taraji
about
P.
that.
Hinson. Yeah.
Yes.
I know. She popped off and I loved every second of it.
Me too. As she should, because it's fucking
another
stupid.
Living legend. I know. Another living legend that should be paid significantly more than she gets paid. So
agreed,
she goes. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Because that was another thing while I was researching Loretta's life is also I'm looking at all of these credits and in my head I'm going like, she probably made pennies.
Oh, yeah.
Probably made pennies on the dollar to anybody else on that cast, which is just ridiculous. You know, I'm not saying she had to work because she had to work, you know, like how we have our day jobs because we have to have day jobs. But it's like, this is her life. This is what she likes to do. This is what she's good at. And she's amazing at.
Yes.
And like, this is, it just makes me angry. On her behalf, not at her, obviously. Your sweet Loretta, if you're listening, we love you. We stan. Team Adele.
Always.
Yes. But okay, so we can't talk about TV without talking about Grey's Anatomy. Cannot talk about her TV career without talking about Grey's Anatomy. So she played Richard Weber's wife, Adele. Richard Weber, for those who don't watch the show, is the program director of like the intern, the residency program at Grey Sloan. It's now Grey Sloan Memorial. It was Seattle Grace at the time. Listen, we suspend our disbelief a lot when we watch television and movies. So, But his character had an affair with Ellen Pompeo's character, Meredith Grey's mom. And like they had an affair when Meredith was a kid and blah, blah, blah. And Adele knew, like, so he chose to stay with his wife. So that becomes a recurring jab. And, oh my goodness, I forgot her name. Kate Burton plays, Meredith's mom. So it's like she got to act like the scorned woman opposite Richard Burton's daughter.
Wild.
Right?
I don't think people realize kind of, I mean, casual fans probably do, but that's a hefty scene partner.
Right? Like, also, I would love to hear the stories about Elizabeth Taylor being your stepmom twice.
Oh, no, no. I have a lot of questions for her if she ever gives an interview about it.
Right? But, like, even, like, just because those two rarely ever have a scene together, I think maybe they only had one, if that, the entire time. But, like, yeah. You know, they're always at odds. They're always, like, the other one's in the room, right? You couldn't talk about, you couldn't have one character without having the other in the room because of all the implications and stuff. But just her acting, and her acting as a woman with, not just as a scorned woman, but then her character later develops Alzheimer's. And just the acting this woman put on was not worthy of that show.
I love it.
Like, she was too good for them.
Well, and that's kind of always been my critique of Grey's, is that the writing and acting have waxed and waned, as most long-running TV shows are wont to do. But, yeah, I don't. She hasn't been in any of those downswings, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And she, like, she was just so good. And anyone that's seen any of their loved ones kind of, you know, slowly lose their mind and their memories and their pieces of themselves, it's painful, but, like, you can see it in her. She does that, like, glassy-eyed, thousand-yard stare so well that, like, you're like, is this acting? But, like, it is acting, obviously. But, like, it's just woof. And, you know, and she just, love her. Love her on that show. If you're going to watch it, just watch, like, a supercut of all of her stuff. It's just so good. Like, and it's not just our opinion. She won an Emmy.
I was going to say.
As well. Yeah, she got an Emmy in 2011 for the Outstanding Guest Actress in a Drama Series.
Deserved.
For her performance. Yeah, and she was nominated again the next year. She didn't win the next year, but she was nominated. And she also got a Grace Allen Award for Outstanding Female Actor in a feature role for Grace as well that year. So, I mean, this woman is stacking up awards, but she doesn't need them, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, no.
The awards are nice, but you don't need them. She was also in Crash. I don't know if I mentioned that. 2005, not the Cronenberg one. The other one.
Oh, I was like, wait a damn minute.
Not the Cronenberg one. The other one.
My eyes just went, what? Like, huge. I was like, wait a minute.
No. The other one.
Yes, The action one.
Yes. The action one. She was also in Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Oh, a classic.
No, like, I, like, you think we're joking. It's a fun movie.
It's definitely a cute kids movie. I'm impressed with her formidable IMDb listing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously she didn't go the full horror route that others have, but I can appreciate the through line in her roles of just kind of, like you said, it's a pep in her step kind of thing that I think a lot of people, can't do without also losing the gravitas to their words. And she's very real and very grounded while also still being, I mean, powerful in her scenes, for sure. I mean, especially Grey's Anatomy. That's what I think of when I think of her.
Yes. No, me too. And she was in a horror movie recently, but I haven't in 2000, and I haven't been able to watch that. So that'll be on my list and that'll be on your list. And if anyone's seen it, please send us a comment or an email about it. It was the movie Spell, and it was released in 2020, the fall of 2020.
Yeah, so. I swear it went straight to streaming, but I could have been wrong. But I'll have to hunt that down.
Yes. Another, like, fun little, like, tidbit in her filmography is that she was in only one music video, and it was for Ruben Studdard, if everyone remembers Ruben Studdard.
Yes. Yeah,
for his video What If.
He's from Alabama, so yes. I'm hollering. Oh my gosh.
Right.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because she was in Dreamgirls, but I'm like, huh?
Yes. But one last thing I'll leave you guys with as well. Like, she had a movie come out, I believe, last year. And it was like, sorry, let me just look up the name of it. I had it right here. It's called A Snowy Day in Oakland.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's like a little cutesy film, but it's about a psychologist from San Francisco who decides to end a stalled romance with her high profile psychiatrist boyfriend and business partner. So it's one of those kinds of movies. And there's a lot of press around it, and I encourage everyone to go watch some of it. But like, she wanted to take this role because it brought the topic of therapy and mental illness in the Black community to the forefront, you know, and one of her quotes is, this is, I'm going to quote from her interview with the official Black magazine. And she says, and I quote, some essential topics touched on in the film are great for conversation, such as owning your own business and therapy. Therapy is a topic of discussion that is stigmatized. This movie shows how therapy can be beneficial for everyone, and you must do more than just go to one session and be done. You have to do it more than once, end quote.
I love her.
Like, such a simple statement, but, you know, that's the thing I think that, at least in my own journey, that doesn't stick with people that aren't as into taking care of their own mental health or belittle other people or like, you know, go like, oh, that's just a buzzword, all that kind of stuff, is they think that they can just do it once. And what people don't realize is therapy is something that you can leave, but you can come back. It is not something that ever just leaves. Like, it's something you'll require, and that doesn't make you unhealthy, that you need it again in your life and you have to do it more than once. You can't just say, I've gone and I've been fixed.
Yeah.
So just that quote alone, like, it hit me in the feels.
I know. I love that.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, and she's saying it's something that needs to be talked about, and just, I love her. But yeah, she's got a lot of stuff coming up. She's got, like, according to IMDb, she's got 5 upcoming things.
Wow. Okay.
Because she's also been doing some voice acting and stuff too on the Doc McStuffins movies.
Oh, I love, yes, Doc McStuffins is such a cute kid show. That's adorable.
Yeah. She's got, hold on, I'm pulling it up. She's got something called Holidazed.
Oh, I'm already coming up by the name of the title.
It's a TV series as well, not just a movie. Oh. She's got Lost and Found in Cleveland.
Okay.
Another thing called Bull Street. Something called Lucille, where she plays Lucille. So I'm going to look that up in a second here. And a movie called Rights and Wrongs.
All right.
But Rights
gonna be
spelt like, you know, a funeral rite.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it's going to be a bigger 2024, 2025 for Ms. Divine. Good for her.
Yeah. Okay. So the movie Lucille, the tagline is, a man's overly talkative wife disrupts her elderly husband's day of peace. Starring her as Lucille, and her husband is Frankie Faison.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this now.
Yeah.
I'm in. All right, guys. Yes. We know that this is turned very quickly into what we're looking forward to, but I'm in. I'm going to see it. I'm set.
Heck yeah. But yeah, that's Loretta Devine. If you haven't seen anything she's in, do you own a television?
I was going to say, I feel like you probably just don't realize you have, but yeah.
Yeah. Because I've left out a lot. Those are just like literally my bullet points of what she's been in. Yeah.
So talented.
Yeah. We love you, Loretta. Thank you for letting me wax poetic about Loretta Devine.
No, thank you for letting me go at length about Mr. Ken Furry.
Always. Well,
Bhavna, if people want to ask you more questions or just talk about how much they love Miss Divine, where can they find you?
They can find me yelling at my television, rooting for Adele Weber. But they can find me on Instagram, Twitter, because I will watch that ship go down. And Blue Sky as The Lucky Charms on Instagram. It's just got a little underscore on the end. Where can they find you, Jamie?
As always, you guys can find me as at Glitter Burrito on most social platforms, except for Instagram, where I'm Jamie Kirsten Howard, full government name. You can find us at Bloody Broads Pod on all social media. I believe on Blue Sky, we're just at Bloody Broads. Yeah. And we'll have everything linked in show notes. Don't forget, we do have merch and a Patreon. Yes. And we would love to have your feedback on the Patreon. Anything you would like us to cover, talk about, do a behind the scenes, whatever. Just let us know. Most importantly, tell a friend to tell a friend. Like, subscribe, rate, review. And I'm going to read some 5-star reviews before we let you go.
Hell yeah.
This is from Ace and Bender, who has been on my other podcast, How Did You Get Here? He says, 5 stars, fun and insightful. I jumped in with Dawn of the Dead episode and loved how the discussion contrasted the humanity of the original with a total lack of meaning in the 2004 remake. Great show. I forgot how much we really dragged the 2004 remake in that episode. So,
and then we did it again in our 28 Days Later episode.
You did. And secondly, we have a review from an E. Butler 81. Thank you, E. Butler. Short, sweet, and to the point. 5 stars. It just says, love this show. One of my favorite podcasts.
Aw, thanks, E. Butler.
Yes.
Any relation really to Austin Butler?
Like, let us know. Yeah. Well, we read all of your nice reviews, but if you didn't like these episodes, where can they put it, Bob? All right. Well, until next time, goodbye.
Bye.